A new U.S. study has some interesting findings on that elusive question of creativity. Who has it? What form it takes? And why? Researchers at the University of Ohio studied Nobel laureates and found people are most energetically creative when they are young, but there is a second blossoming when we are in our late 50s. For more on the study and its wider implications, we're joined by Paul Barter. He is an innovation consultant and an adjunct professor at the Schulich School of Business at York University. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
For the sake of our discussion, could you just give us a thumbnail, a brief recap of the major findings?
Sure. The researchers found that there's kind of two blossomings of creativity, as you mentioned. One of them happens, as you might think, when we're young, when we're in our mid to late 20s. And those people tend to be what we call conceptual thinkers. They think outside the box because they're not kind of put in a box yet. They're not kind of immersed in the accepted theories, if you would. They're kind of innovative, sometimes a little bit naive, but that's a good thing. And they tend to be creative and innovative about, you know, the big problems in the world. But the surprising findings were that we tend to have a second blooming of creativity in the mid to late 50s. And those folks are building really on their experience. They're what we call experimental thinkers. And they have, you know, the accumulated knowledge of a life, and they tend to combine some of the things they've learned into innovative new products and services and arts later in life.
Interesting. So the younger folks are those ones that think outside the box. They're not yet cynical.
As we get
older and we get more cynical, we can still be creative, though.
Yeah. As we get as we get older, we're told more and more, and we tend to kind of believe the people who say that we can't do that. Young people just don't know that they can't do it yet. So sometimes they just go and do it.
So what did you make of these findings?
Yeah, it's exactly what I see in my research and in the work I do. About half my time I spend with startups at an incubator in the Greater Toronto area. And of those 87 startups that I work with, I would say about 60% are, you know, youthful in their 20s. But the balance are, you know, in that like late 40s, 50s phase, and they have equally interesting businesses. And actually, the older folks are a little more successful financially as entrepreneurs.
And so, what do you think it is specifically that explains the types of ideas that come from young people versus older ones? Is it just that they're willing to take more risks? They're not as afraid?
I think, you know, they've finished their formal education at the beginnings of their formal education, and they are excited about the world. They see the challenges of the world, and they see opportunities to create, to solve those challenges. They have, you know, high levels of energy and this naivete that I mentioned before, but that's a good thing in this case. They just don't know what they can't do, so they go off to change the world.
Now, could there be a downside to that, though, in terms of, bad decisions? You know, because they don't have the life experience and they want to go for something, but it is kind of, not really plausible?
Yeah, absolutely. And we see a lot of that. But one of the, you know, general rules of thumb in the startup world is we talk about, get your product or service to market quickly. But if it doesn't, you know, resonate with customers, then change. So we call that pivoting. When you pivot your idea and you try something and it doesn't work, then change and change and change. And many of these organizations fail two or three times before they're successful.
Mm.
And that's true in the arts as well. You know, we see a lot of young people that try something in art or music or theater. Their first few things are not successful, but they eventually get it right often.
Yeah. Now, when you talk about pivoting and having to change sometimes, you know, older people, and I'm one of these older people, are often described as those who can't do that. But this obviously shows that we can.
Yeah, it's absolutely the case that we can. You know, we have that accumulated experience. the academic world, we talk about innovation as being new combinations of things. So, you know, this idea of an older Steve Jobs saw this technology called touchscreens, and he thought, well, I can combine that with, you know, telephones and computers and create something called the iPhone. And he had that accumulated experience that enabled to him to see the opportunity where other people might not have.
Huh, it's interesting. I wonder, too, I know this might be a little bit out of your purview, but I wonder, too, whether this explains why sometimes people have a radical career change even in their 50s. You know, we would have written it off to some sort of midlife crisis in the past, but maybe they get this burst of creativity where they have this desire to do something different.
I think that's absolutely part of the case, and also it's part of the, you know, sometimes we have the resources and the time that comes back to us. You know, maybe our families are grown up, and we've got some financial resources, et cetera, and we go to our passion later in life as opposed to maybe sometimes just, you know, getting a paycheck.
Well, it is very interesting, Paul. Thank you very much for sharing your time with us this morning.
You're very welcome. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. That is Paul Barter. He is an innovation expert and adjunct professor at the Schulich School of Business at York University in Toronto.